ओम शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति। दिस मॉर्निंग बाबा सेड, चिल्ड्रन, द ओशन ऑफ नॉलेज is giving you plates full of jewels of knowledge, and therefore you stay carefree, become carefree, because you are receiving jewels of knowledge from the ocean of knowledge. This statement has such a deep meaning. How Baba's knowledge makes us carefree, and before this knowledge we were definitely worried beings. In today's world, the whole world is worried all the time. The rich are worried, the poor are worried, the middle class people are worried. Everyone has some or the other worry. But Baba has made us carefree. He says, you are carefree emperors. And Brahma Baba was a wonderful example of being a carefree emperor. Of course, before Shiv Baba entered in his body, definitely he must be having many, many worries, like anybody else. He was a businessman, he had a big family, he had many problems, must be at that time too. And he must be facing those problems with definitely some worries. Although money was no problem for Baba in his Laukik life, because he was quite prosperous. He had a very big business of jewels, a lot of name and fame. He was also a big donor, and therefore, as you know, some people are concerned about the last days of their life, the last years of their life. If they don't have money, they wonder what will happen of them, because they don't have enough money, and who will give them money in their old age if they don't have enough income. But Baba didn't have that worry, because he had a lot of income. Definitely he didn't need to worry about that. But also people do worry about the future lives. In India, it's very common for old people to worry about their future lives. In my future also, I should be prosperous, I should be happy, and therefore for that, I should do good karma, I should give away a lot of charity. People think in this way, and that is why they give donations, because they think, if I give donations now, then my next birth, God will give me the return. So I will get wealth because I'm donating in this life. And therefore, as Baba says in the Murlis, that from his business income, he used to give one anna. One anna means from 16 annas in a rupee. That was the currency at that time in India. One anna means 16 annas would make a rupee. So one anna was like 6.6%, if you say paisa. So Baba used to take out that much money for charity. And he used to do a lot of charities, especially to the poor, and also for young girls to their parents so that the parents could get them married, and he would give money for the dowry and also other things of such type. And anyone who came to his home would never go back empty-handed. So this was Baba's speciality. So that life was no problem, and also a lot of charity he did, and therefore he was not worried about his future lives too. You know, but then other worries may have been there. Not that everyone is happy in life, although he has money. But definitely what worried Baba was knowing the truth. What is the truth? Who am I? Who is God? Why am I in this world? What is the purpose of life? And for this he used to go to sadhus, sannyasis, saints, gurus, and read a lot of scriptures to know the truth about God and His creation. That was the worry he had. But then, although he read so much, he did 12 gurus in his lifetime, but he did not really get that knowledge which would satisfy his heart, his mind, his intellect, and or pacify his questions which he had of truth. But yes, when Shiv Baba entered in his body, everything changed. How Shiv Baba gave him so many jewels of knowledge with which he could pacify himself. He could get the answers to all his questions about truth. So this is why Baba says that, I give you jewels of knowledge, and thereby you can become carefree. But then, before Shiv Baba entered in his body, he was not worried about what people would tell about him, because he had a very good name in the society, very good name. People respected him so much. Wherever he would go, even the kings, because he would meet the kings, you know, they would invite him to their palaces. The wives, the queens would not go out to buy jewelry. They used to stay only indoors. But the kings would want their wives to get a lot of jewelry. So they used to invite Baba to their palaces, and Baba would find out, you know, what the queens wanted, and on the basis of that he would make that jewelry. So he was invited by the king. So his respect in the kingships was also a great deal. So that was also not a big worry at all. But then when Shiv Baba entered in his body, of course, how the changes came in him. And because of those changes, he did have to face a lot from the society. A lot of slander, a lot of insult, a lot of, bad words. Also, his own family members, his society people, his relatives, all of them, most of them went against him. But how, with Shiv Baba's help, he could face all that? That's Baba's wonderful story. Because when Shiv Baba entered in his body, and Shiv Baba gave him, or the beginning, he got the vision of Vishnu. And Vishnu told him that, I am like you, you are like me, or you will become me. Now this changed Baba's thinking. I am going to be like him. How can I be like him? Because he was a devotee of Vishnu. And Vishnu appeared in front of him and said, you are like me. But he was very curious, because he couldn't understand what it all meant. And then the whole story started of how Baba started losing interest in all his business, in everything else of this world. And he wanted to know what that meant. And then, you know, he went to Banaras, and there he got visions of destruction. And then golden age, and how God gave him that inspiration that this is the world you have to create. So Baba's mind started working that I have to create this world. God is giving me such a big task to do. How am I going to do it? So that concern grew instead of other concerns of the world. But the concern of how can I be a good messenger of God? How can I be a good instrument of God? How can I do what God wants me to do? So that concern was there. And we know the whole story that how it was Baba's wealth which he put at the beginning, you know. And God told him, now surrender all your wealth on the name of the sisters, make a will on their name and surrender all your wealth to them. So whatever instructions Shiv Baba gave him, he did that. And you can imagine if somebody is very wealthy and he just surrenders all his wealth to outsiders who are not related to that person, how much slander he can face, how much obstruction he can face, how much abuse he can face, because relatives will definitely oppose, children will oppose, that how can you give all your property and wealth, you know, to others who are not related to you. But it was Shiv Baba's work. And whatever Baba told him, he followed that even blindly. He did not think what will happen of me in the future, what will happen of my family, what will happen of, you know, other things, my business. No, he just surrendered immediately because that faith worked in him. It's God who has made me the instrument and I will do only what God tells me to do. And he could face his family members. He could face his relatives. He could face everyone because of the faith that this is God guiding me, instructing me, helping me, and I'm only an instrument. But he stayed carefree. You know, people can become so worried because even one little insult, they cannot bear and they'll just, you know, change and go back to the old ways. But Baba did not. He didn't care. But because God is doing this work and I'm only an instrument of God, God has given me such a big task to do and he sowed one seed and we are seeing that how the result of that one seed which Brahma Baba sowed in the form of surrendering his body, mind and wealth to God, that today it is a huge tree of this organization we are seeing and all of us are experiencing God's canopy of protection. That all started with one step of Brahma Baba. But then how Baba stayed carefree, that faith did the wonders. And then you know how 400 sisters, they surrendered to Baba. They left their homes and came to Baba. Baba says that was needed at that time because the foundation was to be created of the yagya, and therefore how the sisters got visions of destruction and they felt destruction is going to happen so very soon. And they just left everything because of the visions they had at the beginning. Brahma Baba also had the visions and that enabled this yagya to be established. You know, many people ask, if we get visions now, then we will also surrender everything. We will do everything. Why doesn't Baba give us visions now? Then our faith will increase. But Baba says, now you don't need visions. Because now you are seeing in a practical way destruction, you know, everywhere. They're so worried. People are so worried because anything can happen anytime, anywhere. In the morning people leave home, there's worry whether they'll come back at night or not. There's always worrying. When you leave your home to go anywhere, your parents will be worried, your family will be worried. Has he reached there safely? Because anything can happen anywhere, anytime. So that fear is so much in today's world. At that time, that fear was not there because the world was not that bad as it is today. But then as Shiv Baba gave the visions, immediately the disinterest for the world came. But now Baba says we are seeing it practically, so there's no need for visions. At that time, there was no knowledge of atom bomb. But then how Shiv Baba did this wonderful task? On one hand, in 1936, Shiv Baba entered the body of Brahma Baba to establish the golden age. And on the other hand, in 1936 itself, or during that time, the scientists had this thought that an atom can be split and an electron release can give so much energy, and that's why Einstein, he formulated this equation, mass into square velocity, that is the energy which can be produced from one atom, one electron release. To convert mass into energy, he gave the equation. So at that time, this thought came that if many such atoms are bombarded, so much energy can be released, and that's how the atom bomb was invented. So on one hand, Shiv Baba did his work of establishment. He laid the foundation. And on the other hand, the scientists were working on this. So you can imagine establishment and destruction going on simultaneously. And how today, as we see in this world, we show a picture of this earth on its deathbed, like a dying man, and he's being given ventilator, he's on a ventilator, because any time he can die. So we show that picture of this earth on its deathbed, and on top, atom bombs wandering around, they can explode any time. And below, fire of vices. So fire below and fire above. You can imagine, if somebody is as fire below and fire above, can he survive? And to be on a ventilator means it's like being on borrowed breath. Everything is borrowed, nothing is of your own. That means as good as gone, dead. So Baba says that now there's no need for visions. But that yes, at that time there was need. And how even after the yajna started, and they were for 14 years in the yajna, Baba's wealth did the wonders, and Baba could sustain all the sisters and brothers who had surrendered. Because they just left home and came. Now Baba will say, don't leave home and come. Wherever you are, stay at home. If all leave home and come and stay here, from where are we going to get so many buildings, so many apartments for staying, and what are you all going to do by staying here? And therefore, be where you are, stay where you are, work where you are, and look after yourself, but just give 1 hour to Baba. Remember Baba, hear the Murli, do Baba's service. Look after their centers wherever you are, because you have to give message in the whole world. But at that time, it was a different situation altogether. And then when they came to Baba, really it was very interesting. How could Baba send them away? They just came and said, Baba, we're not going to go back. And Baba could not send them away. And Baba did look after them. And when they used to see Baba, they used to get vision of Sri Krishna from Baba. Or they used to take drishti from Baba, Baba would give drishti to them, they would go into trance, and in that trance state dance with Krishna. So this also became a big news, that Dada Lekhraj, who is calling himself Brahma, and because they think Brahma was God, and how he has got some magic in him, that whoever looks in his eyes, they go into trance and then they see visions of Krishna. So he's got magic. And Baba used to say, I have no magic. I'm not a magician. I don't know any magic. I'm an ordinary person just like you. How can I do any magic? I've not learnt it from anybody else. But it is God's work. And I'm only an instrument. But how Shiv Baba would tell him, don't worry, child. You will face all this slander, but don't worry. And Baba used to stay so carefree. And there was a time when people, insulted Baba on his character too, because they would say, look, he's calling himself Krishna. And all these, there were about 400 sisters who were surrendered. And Baba, and people would say, he is Krishna and these are 400 gopis. They say in the Bhagavad that Sri Krishna had 16,108 wives. So these are his 400 wives and he wants 16,108 wives. Well, what a big insult for Baba. And Baba used to say this to Shiv Baba, Baba, what is this? Look at the way people are saying, it's not me, I'm not doing anything. And Shiv Baba would tell him, child, don't worry, because that worry was there. How before everyone would give me so much respect and now they are pointing their finger towards me and saying, he's got magic, he thinks he's Krishna, he's this, he's that. And Baba, what are you doing? Why all this? And Shiv Baba would tell him, don't worry, don't worry. And how gradually Brahma Baba overcame this worry and became a carefree king because he said, it's not me who is doing it, it's Shiv Baba. And then after 14 years of yajna, you know, they came to India, and when they came to India, they had no money. Because all the money was finished in the 14 years staying in total isolation. Shiv Baba said, you have to be totally in isolation in tapasya. And those 14 years were such years in which so much transformation came in the world. From 1937 to 1950, whilst they were in Karachi, so much transformation came in the world. The Second World War took place from 1939 to 1945. For 6 years, there was a Second World War, and so much sorrow in the world. So many people, hundreds of thousands of people, were killed in the Second World War. And then how that World War ended? When America bombed Japan, and that made Japan to surrender. You all know that history. So the Second World War took place during those years, and in India it was worse because it was a time when Mahatma Gandhi raised this voice to the Britishers to leave India. And you all know that how Britain was the king of the whole world. The Britishers used to say that the king never sets in the British Empire. The sun never sets in the British Empire, because the British Empire was in the whole world. Everywhere in Africa, in so many countries, the British Empire was in Asia and also Africa, many countries. And how India was the first country which made the Britishers to leave the country, and that raised this voice in other countries, and other countries also got liberated from Britain gradually. But then the Britishers were very clever, because how they started ruling all over the world? By divide and rule policy. They would go everywhere and then, you know, divide people there. And one side they would make their own and the other side would be their enemy. So those people who were their friends, they would accompany the Britishers and then attack the enemy. So divide and rule policy. They would divide the people and then rule over them. It's like in a family, divide two brothers. One brother you make your own and then you attack the other brother. So brother attacks brother. It's like that. And then you just stay detached. So that was what they did. So big history in India too. And we saw that how Mahatma Gandhi could do it, and the Britishers left, but then they divided India into two countries, India and Pakistan. And till today, this problem is still there, you know, we can see it. But then when the country was divided, when the Britishers were leaving, but they divided the country, and we know there was so much bloodshed in India. So much bloodshed. Hundreds and thousands of people were killed. And there was like a civil war in India when India and Pakistan became separate. But Baba's children were in Karachi. And how Shiv Baba kept them so safe, That is really our great wonder. They were all under the canopy of protection of Baba. And how after everything became quiet and Baba, Shiv Baba then told them, now go to Bharat. Bharat is the place which will be the spiritual guru of the whole world. Bharat is the place which will guide the world spiritually. Bharat will become heaven. Bharat is the place where the deities will come. So God descends in Bharat. So first it was all Bharat. Even Karachi was Bharat. No, but afterwards it divided. But so how Shiv Baba told them, you will go to Bharat. And in Bharat you go on a mountain top. This was Baba's inspiration, Shiv Baba's inspiration. Because in Karachi, where they were for 14 years, it was near the seashore. So the sea, they used to go to the sea and do tapasya near the sea. But how Shiv Baba told them, go on a mountain top. And on the top of the mountain at the end, when destruction will take place, you will give light and might to the whole world. So really, if you go to see, Mount Abu is the safest place in the whole world. Whole world, really. You go to any city, it is not safe, but Mount Abu is very safe. Of course, now little bit things may happen, but not compared to what it is in the big towns and big cities and big in some countries. So it's very, very peaceful here. And how Baba is doing his work from here. But when they came to Mount Abu, definitely it was a very big test. Because those who promised Baba that, yes, you come to India and we will help you, they did not help. And the result was definitely there was problem. And it was interesting that how Baba did not even make the children realize that there was no money in the yajna. How early morning Baba would conduct meditation, and then the murli, and now food for breakfast, no money. So Baba would say, come children, we'll go to the mountains. And on the mountains there used to be little cherries and mangoes, you know, so many things at that time in 1950 when they came to Mount Abu. So many things to eat on, you know, growing on trees, and they would eat that, and that was breakfast. No need for cooking any breakfast. And now what about lunch? Okay, then the kitchen sister would come to Baba. Baba, what should we cook for lunch? We don't have grains, we don't have vegetables, we have no money. Baba would say, wait, don't worry. And how some letters would come. And as they would open those envelopes, there would be money in those envelopes. From where the money came, no one knows. God sends. You know, we say God sends. And that's how it worked. And Baba would say, okay, take this money, go and buy flour, go and buy vegetables, go buy pulses, whatever, and the food would be cooked for day and night. And again the next morning, come, let's go to the mountains, and that would be our breakfast. It was more like an excursion rather than the thought that there's no food at home. You know? So this was how it went on for 2 years, this beggary part. And that was a very big test for the yajna. And all those who were weak in knowledge, weak in their faith, they already were weak. So their faith, whatever little bit they had, that started shaking. Like a building is already weak. And if an earthquake comes, what happens? That building will fall first. So those who had strong faith in Baba, who knew it's God's work, God is looking after us, no one can, shake us. Of course, the dadis, they stayed on. But those whose faith was not very strong, they started shaking. And many of them gave excuse, Baba, we will go out and work and we will earn and we will send money to the yajna. Baba would tell them, no need. You have come to Baba, you have surrendered, Baba will take care of you, no need. Nobody will die of hunger here. But then they did not listen to Baba. And they went, and when they went, Maya swallowed them. Now they are coming back, some of them. They are saying, we didn't realize that this yajna will go on like this. We never expected. We never knew. But then, it wasn't any human's work. It was the work of God. And those who had this faith, they knew it, that God is their protector. But it was like, you know, it was a blessing in disguise. Because the weak ones, those who did not have the faith, well, they left. Even now Baba tells in the Murlis that those who don't have the faith, how they will give some or the other excuse and then they will go back into the world. So at that time it happened, but then how Baba stayed as a carefree emperor. Baba would say, children, it's God's work, it's not human work. Human being is not taking care of, no human guru is here. It's God who is taking care of this yajna, it is His work. He is doing the work of establishment of golden age. And Baba gave us this knowledge of the drama so well, which we can hear from Baba's Sakar Murlis. Baba gets the news that so-and-so child, Maharathi child, how he has been attacked by Maya. Baba will say, drama. So-and-so, Baba's child, how she is being beaten because she is not giving sex. So she is being beaten, and Baba would say, well, there is definitely some karmic accounts, but she has to face it. And then Baba used to feel, yeah, my children are experiencing so much of sorrow, but then it is fixed in the drama. So how this knowledge of the drama was so strong in Baba's intellect that he could stay carefree. Throughout the yajna, you can see all these 50 years, we are seeing from 1950 when Baba came to Bharat, and then now we are seeing in every, till 69, okay, even for 19 years, Sakar Baba spoke the Murli in Mount Abu. It was in the history hall Baba would speak the Murli. And from the Murlis you can understand how carefree Baba was, Brahma Baba was. He used to speak in such a way, Shiv Baba of course would speak through him, but in such a way as if Baba is addressing thousands of souls. And when children used to ask Baba, Baba, today you spoke as if you are speaking to thousands. Well, there used to be just 15, 20 sitting in front of Baba. The permanent residents of Madhuban were just 15, 20. Sisters were not living in Madhuban. Baba never made the sisters stay in Madhuban. Baba would say, sisters have to stay in centers. Only brothers had to stay here. That is why Baba named the original complex as Pandav Bhavan, for Pandavas. Baba used to say, sisters have to stay in centers because they are the teachers, they have to keep teaching. But yes, those brothers who are skilled workers, they are needed in Madhuban for physical work. So in the kitchen, brothers working, different departments, brothers working. Sisters were hardly in Madhuban. Only some old ladies, they were in Madhuban. The other sisters were all in the different centers. Even the dadis, they were looking after different centers. So at the beginning when the centers opened in India, Baba sent all the sisters outside. You know of Dadi Janki Ji, how she was not willing to go, but Baba did make her go. Dadi Prakashmani, everyone went to the centers. And when these sisters would bring groups to Madhuban, Baba would tell them, after 2 days, now go back. They used to tell Baba, Baba, we want to stay in Madhuban. Baba, why can't we stay for some few days more in Madhuban? Baba would say, no, you have to go back to your center. You have to serve. This place only Pandavas enough. So Baba never allowed the sisters to be in Madhuban. And so there used to be just 15, 20 permanent residents. So because all the time the groups wouldn't come to Madhuban. But even in front of those 15, 20 people, Baba's children, Baba used to speak the Murli in such a way as if he's addressing thousands. And when children would ask Baba, Baba, the way you spoke today as if there were thousands, Baba would say, children, I'm not speaking only to these ones. Baba is speaking even to those ones who are going to come in the future. Baba used to say this. Children, wait and see. There will be a queue from Mount Abu to Abu Road. Children abroad will get this knowledge overseas, and how they will come to Baba to, they will recognize their father and will come here. The whole world has to come here. So when Baba used to say this, it was like a dream, you know. It was like something like a, what should you say, just like a dream, something we could not even imagine. It was just imagination. That's what we felt. But Baba used to say with so much faith, because who is giving this knowledge? Not any ordinary human being. And now we are seeing how Baba's work is expanding, because it's not a human being's task. Usually when any guru of any organization, any institution dies, after that, that institution is finished. Because even if others take over, they can't be the same. They can't be the same. And usually there are fights, you know. Who should be the guru? Who should take the seat? And fights, and because of the fights, they split. The organization split, and then the power of that organization finishes, because it has split up. Just like in a tree, you have a tree and then you have the branches and then you have the sub-branches and their sub-branches and their sub-branches. Ultimately, the end of the tree becomes so fragile, so it is so sensitive. But the stem may be at the roots and the stem from where it starts from the main trunk, that could be strong. But later on, it becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. So we see how other organizations, they become very, very weak. Very, very weak afterwards. Because for three main reasons, you know, how they split. And there are always fights in that. One reason is, the one who sits on the gadi of the guru who died, that one does not have very good character like the original guru. He may not have that much, that good character. And the result is, because some people don't like his character to that extent, so they split, because somebody else will say, I want to be the guru, I want to be the guru. And that's how they fight, and then they split. They create their own organization. So either it is because of character, or because it is of money reasons. So many organizations, who is to own the money? So money becomes a very big issue, because these organizations have a lot of money. And then, who will own the money? So again, because of that, the fights take place and the organizations split. These are the two main reasons. And the third is, because of so many opinions, again they split. But here, this cannot be possible. It will never be possible. Why? Because there is no human guru here. Brahma Baba was not a guru. Many people come and say, this one is your guru. We say, you call him God, they ask. We say, no, he's not God, he's not even our guru. Then they ask, who is he of yours? We say, he is our Alaukik spiritual father. He's our father. So when we say he's our father, then they realize, oh, this is like a family. And in this family, there's no guru. It's mother, father and the children. And we become one spiritual family. No other the relationship. Just mother, father and children. And the dadis. Dadis means the elder sisters. They ran the show. Of course, Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba are like the backbone, giving sakash to the dadis. So these dadis, no one can point their finger towards the dadis that their character isn't good. So no question of division. Also, money is not a very big issue at all here, because none of the dadis own any money. There's no bank account in any dadi's name. That's why Dadi Janki often says, I have no money. You know, She says this, I don't even carry a purse. She doesn't have a bank account. There's a trust, all trust and foundation and everything. So it's not owned by any human being. None of our centers are owned by anyone's name. It is all Brahma Kumaris or education foundation, you know, trust, all that. And therefore there's no question of fighting over money issue. And thirdly, if there are differences in opinion, could be, like Baba keeps telling, you know, Avik Bab Dada tells the three brothers, the three senior brothers, you should be one, you should be one. So even if there's difference of opinion, and maybe they have different suggestions, but ultimately who is to decide? Then they ask Baba. And Baba is the final judge. He is the one who gives the final decision. So again, no question of fighting. Why was my opinion not accepted? Why his opinion was accepted? I won't accept this, I won't accept it. No question at all. Even if Baba is asked something, Baba will never give his final decision immediately. Baba will say, have a meeting, discuss amongst yourselves, and come to some conclusion and then tell Baba, and then Baba will give the final decision. Not straight away, do this, order, not like that. Because it's a family. Each one is given so much value. Each one is given so much importance. Each one is given so much respect to share their opinions. So this becomes like a family. We are seeing how in foreign countries also, it's not one man show in one country. No, it's a group, and it's their discussions, and then and then whatever conclusion they come to, they then tell their national coordinator, whoever, or the regional coordinator. So we have the NCs, we have the CCs, we have the NCs, we have the RCs, and then the RCs are also not the final decision makers. They have to come to Madhuvan, tell the Dadis. And then the Dadi is also not final decision makers. They have to ask Baba. So Baba is the final decision maker. And when Baba says something, it is like, you know, they say written on stone. When something is written on stone, it is accepted forever. Yes, yes. No question at all. Means it is something to be not questioned. So here, no such thing can happen. Why? Because it's God's work happening. So many organizations we hear of, so much is happening there, in the sense that how they split up, so many gurus are being sent to prison these days because they are having some assault with women, with ladies, and then the ladies complain that this one did this to me, and then how they are sent to prison. So it's become a big issue these days, especially in India, and how Baba's work is going on, and we can see that day by day it's God's work taking place, and ultimately we don't have to stay here, we all have to return home. Yes, all are ready for returning home, because anything can happen suddenly. Be ever ready, and time to go home. Is everyone ever ready? Those who say we are ever ready, raise your hand. Time to go home. Baba said today, yes, I have given you to these two wings of knowledge and yoga with which you purify yourselves, you become clean, and thereby return home, because that's our ultimate goal, return home and then come in the new world. And this world we see and don't see, we hear and don't hear, because we have the new world in our eyes. Baba has given us the third eye with which we can see the new world, we can see our home, we can see our destination. So this is how Baba wants us to become carefree, because our backbone is God Himself. Om Shanti. We have been told that now there will be gift ceremony, so I finish now. Thank you. Om Shanti.